Good evening. I want to take a moment and take the opportunity and thank the elders for the privilege, the honor, to be with you tonight, to spend a few moments in study of God's Word. I want to thank Mark for asking me to fill in for him. It is truly a privilege, it is an honor, and I am humbled to be able to do so. You know, when Mark mentioned this morning that there was, if you wanted to hear a preacher or see a preacher that was bigger than he tonight to come back, well, obviously, I am bigger than he is. But he failed to give you a few other key points of information. I'm younger. I'm better because I'm a better navigator. Funny story. Right after he came back to OVC and he and Tracy were going to go on their first date, I had to draw him a map in order to go where they were going. So I'm a better navigator. I'm a better basketball player. I'm a better golfer. And this, in the eyes of the beholder, at least in my viewpoint, I am more handsome than he. So you've got bigger, you've got better, and you got better looking. So anyway. Now, it was in the fall in August of 1989 that I came back to OVC for my third year. And John Williams, some of you may remember him. He was a professor there. And he told me of a man that was coming back after he had been to OVC for 1 year, and then he went on to Malone and played basketball there as well, and that he was coming back to study the Bible. And it was only a day or two after we had gotten there that I sought Mark out and introduced myself and asked him to go play basketball with me, because I played basketball there at OVC as well on the basketball team, and asked him to go over to City Park and play basketball. And we did, and we just really hit it off. And I want to tell you that he is the best friend that I have in the world. Next to family, next to my mommy and my brothers, he is the best friend that I have in the world. I believe, and I thoroughly believe, that we are fortunate and that we are blessed to have him as our minister here at 36th Street. So, with that being said, I would invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, and we will read verse 15. Exodus chapter 14, and we will read verse 15, as it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward.'" Go forward. There are many texts of Scripture that remind us that spiritual progress is a characteristic of the righteous. The psalmist said in chapter 92 and verse 12, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon." In Proverbs 4 and chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "But of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, we also see Paul writing his letter to Timothy. Chapter 4 and verse 15, well, let's back up to verse 11. "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress." So we have three separate passages here that talks and teaches us the need for spiritual progress, for the need of progress in our lives as Christians. go forward. Our text concerns a time of crisis in Israel's history. They had been in captivity for some 400 plus years. And as we all know, let's relate some of the highlights of that old story. They had come to this point. Now they had been led out of bondage. They had cried out to the Lord for years and years for the Lord to deliver them out of that bondage. And Moses, we know the story of how God sent Moses to deliver them. And we know the story of the plagues and the conflict that went on between Moses and Pharaoh. But now here in this text, they have come to the banks or to the edge of the Red Sea. Water all around them. And they realize and they know that Pharaoh and his armies are following after them to take them back into captivity. Because the Bible tells us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And they cried out. And the Lord says, why to Moses? Why do the people cry out to me? Tell them to go forward. Tell them to make progress. When you go from point A to point B, you make progress. God told Moses, tell the people to go forward. We know the rest of the story, how Moses raised his arms, his staff, and the waters divided, and the Israelites went through on dry land. And then Pharaoh and his armies followed after, and then the waters collapsed on them. Go forward. Make progress. These words, this story, should inspire us as Christians in our personal life to go forward, to make spiritual progress. They should encourage us as well as a body of God's people collectively to go forward, to make spiritual progress. Go forward. Make progress. There are some reasons for spiritual progress. The reason number one for spiritual progress is found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. As it says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness, all unrighteousness. John tells us there is a reason for spiritual progress. If we walk in the light, if you are walking, you are making progress. You're going from point A to point B. John tells us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that we have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship one with another. So you see, there is a reason to have or to have spiritual progress in our lives. Spiritual progress is needed when we are beset by foes and confronted with great difficulties. When things are not going our way. When things are not going our way in our personal lives and in the lives of the congregation, what's the first thing we should do? Should we not think about God? Should we not get down on our knees and pray to God that He would deliver us from this, whatever it may be, whatever the case may be, whatever the hardship? Should we not pray to Him for the strength and the courage and thank Him for being our God and Father? And that we know that if it is His will, He will deliver us. Paul told the Romans in chapter 8 and verses 35 through 39. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul talks about some pretty serious things here. He talks about a lot of things that can come before us, that can give us hardship, can cause us tribulation, to give us stress and grief in our lives. But he also tells us that if we are faithful, if we are making that progress as Christians, if we are living the faithful life, that nothing, there is nothing under heaven, nothing on this earth that can separate us from the love of God and the love of Christ Jesus. Spiritual progress. Spiritual progress is necessary for those who are seeking a better place. We all want to go to heaven. If we didn't, then why are we here tonight? Why were we here this morning? You see, that is a goal for us. That should be our goal. We should be ever looking for the day that the Lord will return. And we will meet him in the air. Heaven should be our goal. We should be able to wish, we should be wishing and longing for that day that Christ will come again and we will have the opportunity, if we have lived faithful to him, we will have the opportunity to spend all of eternity with him in heaven. We should have the goal. We should be looking forward. We should be looking. That goal should be Christ. That goal should be Christ sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Spiritual progress. Some goals for spiritual progress is to obtain a more knowledge of God's holy word. We need to make a greater effort to acquire this information. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. We need to obtain more knowledge of God's holy word. We need to take time and study. And this is a point for me as well. I need to do better in my study of God's word. You can't get too much God in your life. We need to study. It should be a goal of our spiritual progress to obtain a more knowledge of God's holy word. We need to learn to discriminate between things that differ. Some are running after something new, while others may cling to ancient errors. If we are always living in the past, if people are always living in the past, are they making the progress that they need? Are they making spiritual progress? We need to look forward. We cannot do anything about this morning. We cannot do anything about yesterday. We cannot do anything about last year. But we can do something about right now. We can do something about tomorrow. We can make a conscious effort to dedicate ourselves to the cause of Christ, to make spiritual progress, to go forward in our lives as Christians. We can do something about now, and we can do something about tomorrow. We need to hold firmly to what we have learned to be truth. What is the truth? The truth is God's word, and we need to hold firmly to that. We need to, when things go bad, what should we do? We should look to God's word. When we need answers, what should we do? We should look to God's word. We need to hold firmly to what we have learned to be the truth. We need to attain into a higher life. John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." The whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth, leaving the realm of heaven and coming to this earth, was so that we would be able to make progress, so that we would be able to have that goal of heaven, to have that goal of eternal life with Him, with God the Son and God the Father for all of eternity, that they may have life and have it abundantly. To render a full service unto the Lord, Matthew 7:21, Jesus says again, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You see, we're talking about spiritual progress. We're talking about moving forward in our lives as Christians. There are some hindrances to spiritual progress as well. We cannot go forward if we are constantly looking back. Do you remember the story of Lot in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened to Lot's wife? Did not God not tell them to leave the city and not to look back? But Lot's wife didn't listen. She was more concerned about what was happening to the cities behind her than looking forward, instead of making progress in her lives by getting to point A to point B by obeying God. And we know what happened to her. All throughout the Bible, the story of the Israelites, we can read of their opposition to the idea of redemption. They cried out constantly for God to save them, to take care of them. But we see constantly as well their lack of faith, their choice to not live or not listen to God's word, not to listen to what God has told them to do. And even here, now, at the banks of the Red Sea, God has delivered them, and they cry out, "Why? Why would we not have been better off to have stayed in Egypt?" And God says, "Why do they cry? Why do they cry out to me? Tell them to go forward." Continually looking back will cause one to lose sympathy with the present and all hope of the future. Views of the past are always distorted, because we remember how things was or how we want them to be again. We are caught up in the past and we can do nothing about it. But what we can do is to make progress from now on. Make progress in our journey as Christians and have heaven as our goal to one day spend eternity with God the Father and God the Son. We cannot go forward by simply going around in circles. Have you ever seen someone or ever known someone who is just so constantly busy and just bustling and going about doing one thing, and then, "Oh, I'm so busy, I got to do something else, and then tomorrow or this evening I've got to go here, and tomorrow I've got to do this"? Does that person ever accomplish anything? Sometimes. But sometimes not. We cannot go forward by simply going around in circles. You make no progress if you go around in circles. You only make progress by going forward. The church can have a whole page full of activities in the bulletin, and everyone busy and still not busy doing what we have been put here to do. to teach the world about Christ Jesus. The true work of the Lord is clear. Paul says once again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Let me get focused here. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We have a job to do, and the true work of the Lord is clear. We are to always be abounding in His work. Israel marched for 40 years. And we know the story of how they just... Why? Because of their lack of faith. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not believe that God would deliver them. We cannot go forward if we are filled with that same fear and with that same doubt of God. Moses told the Israelites, "Fear not," yet later they faced the walled cities and giants and continually expressed their doubts and fears. Do we do the same thing? Are we guilty of the same? Do we fear failure? Do we fail or fear difficulties and death? Why would we fear these things? Well, it's because of a lack of faith, because we are not making the progress that we need to make in our lives as Christians. Fear is still a great hindrance to spiritual progress, even to the point of endangering personal salvation. Do you remember the parable of the talents? How the master gave the 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and to another he gave one. What did the 5 and the 2 talent person do, their servant? They put those talents to work. They put those talents to use and they gained more talents. But what did the 1 talent person do? The 1 talent person, he went and hid it in the earth because he was afraid. And we know what happened to him. It is a wonderful story in Exodus chapter 14. We see the merciful deliverance of the Lord, and may we never forget that our salvation also is of the Lord. Now we also see in this great chapter of the Bible the working of divine justice as our God brings judgment upon those who are the enemies of His plan, who are the enemies of His purpose, and who are the enemies of His people. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let's pray to God. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to approach Thy throne of grace, Father. And we just pray, Father, that You will be with each and every one of us. Be with us as Christian in our personal lives. Help us, Father, to always look to You for the guidance and the wisdom that we need to move forward in our lives. Be with us as well, Father, as a congregation of Your people. Help us, Father, to always look to You. Be with the leaders as they lead us here. Be with the elders and the deacons and the ministers, and just be with each and every one of us. And may we always be known as a congregation of Christians that are making progress in their lives of service to You. We love You and we praise Your high and holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your kind attention this evening. As I said, it's been a privilege and an honor to spend a few moments and start a study of God's Word with you. It would not be right to leave here this tonight without taking a moment to offer the Lord's invitation to any in the audience who may not have begun to make that life of progress. of that spiritual progress. Or maybe you have, and for some reason, you've come to a roadblock. Something has stalled, or something has caused you to stop making the progress that you need to make. You have heard the word. The plan of salvation is simple. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and to be baptized. It's that simple. The love of God has provided a way of escape for each and every one of us. If there are any subject to the invitation or any who need the prayers of the church, whatever your case may be, the time is now, the time is yours.